So this morning we are taking a little bit of a detour from our normal Sunday morning series. We've been going through the book of what? Y'all remember? Anybody know? The book of James on Sunday morning. And we found ourselves all the way to the end of chapter 4, beginning chapter 5, and just taking a little bit of detour this Sunday as we contemplate and pray through. Next Sunday, the end of the service, we'll be nominating three men to serve along with four other men who will be serving as deacons to serve in the church. So looking at that this morning, but also next Sunday, be veering away from the James study because we'll have a guest speaker here of the study Experiencing God. Y'all heard of that study? It's an awesome study, been used literally worldwide to make disciples. One of the co-authors of that study, Claude King, is going to be here with us that next Sunday morning and is going to be introducing for us a time, a special time for us as a church, and it's titled Consecrate the People. So it really finds its foundation in anytime God was about to do something great in the people of Israel's life, he told them to consecrate themselves, set themselves apart that God might use them. And so as the revitalization team has been working this past year, one of the first things kind of at the beginning of our revitalization time was our 40 days of prayer. Y'all remember doing that? Walking through that together, it was an awesome, powerful time, began to see God move in amazing ways. And so with the kind of the end of our revitalization time, nearing its end, is this consecrate the people. So now, God, empower us, fill us, motivate us to do all and be all you've called us to be. That's kind of what this is. So he's going to introduce the study and really set up its importance next Sunday morning. And then for the next 8 days, starting next Sunday morning, we're going to be working through that individually in our homes. Everybody will get a copy of this study. And then we'll come back on that last day. The eighth day will be the following Sunday. And we will spend some time getting with God about what we've been doing that past week individually. Does that make sense? Clear as mud. Okay. So this morning we're going to look at Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, is where we are. And the title of this morning's message is Help Needed, the Church is Growing. Help Needed, the Church is Growing. This is going to be on two different levels. We're going to be looking at what happened in Acts chapter 6 as the early church was growing and what was happening there. But we also, it's very relevant to our day today. Because help is needed, our church is growing. No amens for that one. What I've learned early on is to be careful what you... Y'all heard it too? Be careful what you ask for. Specifically, be careful what you pray for. Because it just might happen. I'm certain that you all have prayed for a long time that God would grow areas of this church. And I know there are parents and grandparents praying for the student ministry in this church. And we have great opportunities to make disciples of the next generation. Evidence of that was in the baptism waters this morning. And with blessing comes responsibility. I'm not going to quote the Spider-Man movie or anything like that, but with blessing comes responsibility. When God blesses, ladies and gentlemen, that means we have to do something with what he's just put in our hands. And he's blessing us. On Sunday nights, we've been doing Sunday Night Live for a little over a year now, and God is blessing us with numerous teenagers in our Family Life Center. He's also blessing us with young kids who want to be here, but there's not room for them to be under the teenagers' feet, okay, because then it just gets hairy. So we need to transition. We need to make some additions. I'm not going to use the ugly C word if I can help it this morning. But we're going to try to add some things. We're going to add some things on Sunday night for the children. Sunday Night Live Junior. And at the end of the service this morning, Brother Barry is going to meet with everybody who signed up to do that. Also, anybody who hasn't signed up and should sign up and be helpful in that, you can meet with us at the end of the service this morning. But with all of these children means they're going to be meeting in here on Sunday nights. Transition. With blessing comes responsibility. What are we going to do with it? And this is what we believe God is leading us to do with it. So there'll need to be all hands on deck to make this happen, to make disciples of the next generation. also a tremendous blessing. Monday afternoons at 3:30. Anybody know what we do as a church on Monday afternoons at 3:30? Well, at least half, Miss Michelle. At least half knows what's been going on for the last dozen years or so. Anyway, we're praying that God will bless that ministry, and guess what? He's blessing the ministry. With great blessing comes great what? Responsibility. Y'all are catching on. So with Team Kid at 3:30 on Mondays, we're having a meeting this coming Monday to talk about some additions and some transitions that are happening with Team Kid. We want to make it better. And with the day that we live in, security is an issue, and so we're going to make some adjustments on how we get the kids from us to their parents with no hiccups or hang-ups with that. And so that's going to be some transition we're happening. But I also found out that we're needing some more help. Yeah, with blessings comes responsibility. That means you got to step up. And so at the end of the service this morning, Miss Michelle will be roaming around in here. And you just raise your hand, Miss Michelle. And you find this lady. If you are available on Mondays, even some Mondays, we can do a schedule with other people who can do some Mondays. Mondays at 3 to 3:30, if you can be here, it's an opportunity to disciple the next generation. Help needed. The church is what? Growing. The revitalization team got handed to them some plans or some suggestions about what it would look like for us to meet in our Family Life Center for AM worship. And they're praying through that, looking through that, and talking to some other people about what that would look like. But with blessing comes what? Responsibility. And sometimes that means, oh, I'll say it, change. Sometimes that means change. And so we as a church will have a huge decision to make in coming months about what this is going to look like and where we're going to be. All that was just introduction. That's free. Now, what you came here for. Let's stand and we'll hear the word of God together. Acts chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's one provided in the pew in front of you. Please take that out and turn to page 597. 597 in that pew Bible. And if you don't have a Bible of your own, take that as a gift from our church to you and be in God's Word every day. If you don't know where to start, start in John. It's a great place, the Gospel of John. Acts chapter 6, beginning there in verse 1. In those days, as the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples and said, "It would not be right for us to give up preaching about God to handle financial matters. Therefore, brothers, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, who we can appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the preaching ministry." The proposal pleased the whole company, and so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. They had them stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. And so they preached about God. The preaching about God flourished, and the number of the disciples in Jerusalem multiplied greatly. And a large group of priests became obedient to the faith. Would you pray with me, please? Father, as we just get still before you yet again this morning, we come asking that you would continue to meet with us in the time of understanding your word. God, I pray that much is made of Jesus, because that is the most blessed, wonderful, and powerful name ever given. It is the name we were given by which we must be saved. And so, Father, I pray that much is made of him as we voyage through this passage of Scripture this morning, as we understand that help is needed and the church is growing. God, I pray that you would meet with us and your Holy Spirit would move and empower us to be the people you created us to be, a people in love with you, a people in love with one another, and desiring to serve those around us. God bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we look in the first two verses, we find that the church experiences growing pains. Anybody remember growing pains when you were growing up? Anybody? I didn't have very many of them. I'll just go ahead and say what you're already thinking. I didn't have very many of them. Anybody remember growing pains? Where was it worst? In your legs? In your back? Isaiah's going through growing pains. I'm having to look up at my youngest son. It's just not right. Something wrong with the world. Anyway, so experiencing growing pains. The church should experience growing pains. That's what's happening here in Acts chapter 6. And so in Acts chapter 1, we find God gives some instructions to the early church, and then the apostles receive a tremendous empowerment by who? The Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 at the feast of, starts with a P, Pentecost, right? And so at Pentecost, they receive the Holy Spirit, and people are saved by the thousands. Does that stop? No, it's multiplication. It's not addition, it's multiplication. One person tells somebody, and then those two people tell two more people. Then you got four people telling more people, and four turns into eight, and eight turns into, some math people in here, 16. 16 turns into 32, and 32 turns into, we'll stop there, 64. So multiplication, that's as far as I can go. Multiplication. So read what's happening. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. In those days, in the days of the early church, the number of the disciples was multiplying. Disciples. Those are individuals. Notice it didn't say church members. Notice it didn't say church attenders. The number of the disciples. A disciple is anyone who follows after someone or some other kind of teaching. And so in this case, the disciple is a capital D disciple, an individual who's following after Jesus, modeling their life and their lifestyle after Jesus. They're following after the Old Testament principles that were given here, and they're empowered by the Holy Spirit to live them out. This is disciples, individuals who recognize, look, I'm a sinner. Any sinners in here? Every hand should go up, just saying. Sinners. Come before God and say, look, I recognize I'm a sinner, and my sin has separated me from you, my creator and sustainer. I also recognize that my sin has been paid for, bought by the blood of who? Jesus Christ. Where? On the cross of Calvary. So what we do is recognize Jesus has bought our sin and paid for it to remove it. All we have to do is humble ourselves before God, confess our sin and our Savior, and we are what? Saved. You heard Trenton say it this morning, right? Saved. You now are rescued from separation from God to a relationship with God. Rescued from hell to heaven. Rescued. Bought with a price. But it doesn't end there. Because you see, Jesus is a package deal. It's not just get out of hell. It's not just get your sins cleansed, but it's also that He is now the Lord of your life. It's more than just knowing that you're right with God. It's living every day right with God. That's what a disciple is. And so that's what He says here. The number of the disciples, those who've confessed their sin, come after their Savior, and now following in the footsteps of their Savior, the disciples was multiplying. We covered that, not just regular addition. This is multiplication, and this is what should and is still happening in places where people take this serious. I just wonder if we take this serious, because what I read in the waters of baptism this morning was marching orders, not for just the preacher and a few people who stood up, but for the entire church. Jesus said the first word was what? G-O. Go. Go, therefore, and do what? Make who? Disciples. Not converts, not church members, not Sunday school attenders. All those things are good, but that's not the end goal. An end goal is someone who comes to encounter Jesus, recognizes Him as Savior and Lord, and then follows Him in His footsteps for the rest of their lives. That's what we're to be doing. We go get somebody and tell them about Jesus, walk with them until they know him well, and then they go get in somebody and we get somebody else. Multiplication, that's what's happening in the early church. It's multiplying at a rapid rate. Is this a good thing? Yes. But with great blessing comes great what? Responsibility. And so this is what's happening here. In those days, as the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a what? Are y'all reading what I'm reading? What does it say? What arose? A complaint. Do complaints ever happen in the church? Well, sometimes. Thousands of people were being saved, the disciples were multiplying, and as they were, there was some friction going on. Let me break it down a little bit further. As we find that the complaint was by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews. Now, what does that mean? Those aren't words you've used anytime soon, I'm sure. The Greek Jews were Grecian Jews, meaning they were Greek-speaking Jews. Meaning they were an individual who lined up under the Jewish tradition, maybe even be able to find their heritage all the way back into Abraham, and they encountered Jesus. Likely that they encountered Jesus at Pentecost. Remember, somebody came at Pentecost. Who was it? The Holy Spirit showed up at Pentecost. And when he showed up at Pentecost, there were people from all over the known world there present when the disciples started speaking in their own languages. So there were people from all over the world. So there were people from places where they spoke Greek there present. And they get saved. And many of them recognize, I can't go home like this. What? That they're changed. They can't go home like this because they're not going to go worship at the synagogue anymore. They're going to worship together with other brothers and sisters in Christ. They can't go back to their workplaces because they're not going to welcome them. They're one of those people that follow now the way and they're not welcome home. So many of them stayed around Jerusalem. So those are the Grecian or the Greek-speaking Jews. They're also the Hebraic Jews, and those were native Jews, Jews that were born in and around Jerusalem, those who would have been close by when they came and heard what Jesus said through the Holy Spirit, through the apostles. And the disciples were being obedient to what Jesus said in Acts 1:8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you don't have to turn there to be on the screen in front of you, but it says, but you will receive power when who? The Holy Spirit has come on you. And you will be my witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem. They've done this. Because there are witnesses in Jerusalem, these people have encountered Christ. They've been obedient to it so much so that it is multiplying greatly in this area. As we continue on, and especially in 2018, it's going to be the year of missions. You're going to hear about missions all the time, mission work, mission efforts, and it's going to be in these four areas, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and where? The ends of the earth, everywhere else. And we're going to be focusing in on what are we doing to reach our Jerusalem? Monday afternoons at 3:30 is an opportunity for you to reach your Jerusalem. Reaching the next generation in Teen Kid. And recognizing we have the opportunity to pour into them what some communities will never have, that kind of a partnership with an elementary school that we can walk kids over here and share Jesus with them, we got to make sure we're doing everything we can in our Jerusalem. That we're multiplying disciples in Jerusalem, then we're going to go where? Judea, which is outside of this place and looking at places like New York and maybe Cincinnati, some places where we can go and partner alongside church planters and other churches that just need some encouragement, some help, maybe some resources. We're going to go to Judea, make sure we're doing what we can do there. Then what's the third place? Samaria. Wait a minute. Let's back up for a second. I got a little ahead of myself. Judea would be in the state. Some of you were tracking with me. Judea is going to be, what are we doing inside the state of Kentucky? There are a couple of ministries and a couple of church planters, eastern and western Kentucky, that we may be looking at, our missions committee may be looking at, going and partnering with them. That's Judea. Samaria would probably be the Cincinnati and the New York, and then where else? The ends of the earth, where we're praying that God will raise up opportunities for us to go places like Africa, and as we've been in the past, like Mexico. And places where we can come alongside churches that need encouragement, prayer, and maybe people that it will just show up to be with them. The disciples' obedience to reaching their Jerusalem, these marching orders of the Lord Jesus Christ, was causing multiplication. And we will know when we are being obedient to this passage of Scripture when we see multiplication. And that's what God desires to do here. But this presented new challenges. As you read through the early church, you find it came challenges like persecution. And one of the men that we'll look at in just a moment experienced death by stoning. Persecution happened. Blatant open sin was happening. And now we read in Acts chapter 6 that dissension and fighting, inward focus began to happen. Beware of inward focus. We have to maintain our eyes on the mission and forever fixing our gaze on the horizon, and that would be more individuals becoming disciples. If and when we get focused in on us and what can this church do to meet my needs, how can I get what I want while I'm here, we start losing sight of why we are here. And the enemy will always, I don't like to use qualifiers like that, but I will use it here. The enemy will always use an inward focus to divide the church. It happens all the time. An inward focus will divide the church. That's what's happening here. There's some inward focus going on. Well, my needs aren't being met. This is not happening right. And so here's what's happening. The Jews, prior to Jesus coming, in the days of Jesus, the Jews would have went around and had specific people assigned to go around and take up a collection on Fridays. So Fridays, you're a Jew, you hear a knock on the door, you know somebody's going to be there to take a collection. This collection was taken up, and then on Saturdays, when the Jews were to gather for worship, their Sabbath day, they gathered together, and those that were in need would have received these gifts that were taken up on Friday. Oftentimes it was widows because they had no one to take care of them, and they would have distributed to them everything that they needed to get through that week so they could make it back the next Saturday. And so the Christian church was doing this. The disciples were doing this. And as this was happening, remember, it's multiplication. And so what they could handle 3 weeks ago, they can't handle now because it's multiplication, and they're having a hard time getting their hands on this, and some of them are being neglected. Some of the widows are not being cared for properly, and so they're complaining against the apostles, saying this is wrong. Some complaints arose by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of the food, the resources. So here's the solution. Then the 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples. Anybody they could get together in the same audience, they pulled them all together and said, it would not be right for us to give up preaching about God to handle financial matters. The apostles recognized that there were priorities that they had that must be maintained. Up until this point, they could handle it. But what was happening? The church was multiplying, right? And so it came to a point where they couldn't handle the needs as well as handle the responsibilities. And they said, our responsibility to pray, to seek the face of God, and know the vision for this church, and preach the word faithfully was more important than us making sure all these needs are being met, so we're going to have to do something about it. Help needed. The church is growing. So they presented the problem to the group of the disciples. So what was the solution? On down into verse 3. Therefore, this is what we're going to do. Therefore, select from among you 7 men of good reputation. They're going to select some men who are going to be found faithful in serving. Here's a principle you need to remember. As more are served, more must be serving. As more are served, more must be serving. Pray for the church to grow. Good. But be ready to serve those that show up. Be ready for it to be beyond you for service. So the disciples said, okay, from among you, some of the men that are here, you're going to have to select for us some of them that can handle some of this business, that can handle this and make sure they're being taken care of, that the church doesn't get a bad reputation and ministry goes on while continual focus on prayer and preaching of the word continues to happen. From among you, these men were men who were involved in the congregation. They are recognizable. So as I go through the rest of these characteristics, you need to be thinking through and praying through, who are these men that I need to nominate next Sunday when we consider 3 men to add to the deacon body to continue to serve, as 3 individuals will be coming off their active service. as you're thinking through this, one qualification should be a man who is among us. Somebody who's regularly here and involved in the congregation. They're recognizable. Not just someone who shows up every now and then, but someone who is committed to being among the church. The second qualification is what? You're reading along there with me? What's the second one? Men of a... two words. Well, the front row's got it. Good reputation. Individuals who handle themselves in a respectful manner, they're above reproach, and they live with integrity. The next characteristic is they are what? Full of not themselves, right? Not hot air. They're full of who? The Spirit of God, meaning God's Spirit is guiding them. They are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, filled with and empowered by the Spirit of God, and they're guided by God, not their personal agenda. They're concerned with the will of God because the Spirit of God is guiding them and working through them. The next characteristic is what? Full of the Spirit and wisdom. Y'all are tracking with me now. Wisdom. Wisdom. Can somebody define what wisdom is for me? Okay. Knows it all? Okay. Wisdom. Do what? That's good. That's good, Daryl. Knows what to do with knowledge. It's one thing to, Miss Froggy, know it all. It's another thing to take that knowledge you have and rightly apply it to your life. A wise man is an individual who takes what they know, filter it through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and rightly apply it to their lives. It's not as complicated as we make it. That is an individual that we must be praying God will raise up to serve in every area of the church, but also in the area of deacon. And they're to appoint them to this duty, giving them this responsibility. And seven individuals are chosen, as we see the list here, as was a common number for those groups that were disciple-making individuals. Decision-making groups oftentimes were groups of seven so that it maintained a good vote anytime a vote had to happen. Now, there was at least one individual to break the tie. The word deacon, or diakonos in the Greek, means servant, one who serves even in the most meaningless task. As we look through the New Testament, we find that the service role of a deacon is not an administrative governing body, but a leading by serving in the church kind of body. Leading by example and serving the Lord. You'll follow their footsteps and find that they're leading people closer to the Lord, that they're leading and serving in the church even without notoriety. Our deacons serve as a sounding board for ideas. They keep peace at the forefront of everything that is happening. They serve as a tremendous support to the pastor and staff through prayer and accountability. I've come to greatly appreciate the godly men who serve in this church as deacons. They need your prayers. They have to put up with me on a regular basis, bringing them a lot of stuff. Y'all should smile about that. It's okay. But they are great godly men who I could call on at any given moment, at any given day. They're there for us, for the staff. They're there for you. Not to be a dictating, governing body. It's not who they are. It's not what the New Testament intends. But a body who desires to serve for the advancement of the kingdom of God as the agenda. So what happened? Look in verse 4. But we will devote ourselves to what? Two things? Prayer and the preaching of the word. The apostles said, let's select these men that fit these qualifications so that we can devote ourselves to prayer, seeking direction and vision from God. It's the pastor's role to continue to be seeking the face of God and have his eyes on the horizon so that God can be warning him and guiding him about what is coming. So the church is prepared and ready in its disciple-making efforts, preaching, preparing to properly teach God's word. The pastor and staff cannot be everywhere. I'm not Jesus. All right, Jesus could be everywhere at the same time, all the time. I'm not him. I don't walk on water. Okay, I am not perfect, and I cannot be everywhere. The church will only grow as far or as fast as the pastor and staff can take it, unless other people step up. The qualifications that were just listed here, that they shouldn't be foreign to us, because every person in here should be desiring that these qualifications be part of their own life. And some of the greatest servants in this church serve without a title. So you don't need one. All you need is the title of Christian, or child of God, child of the King. That's all you need. And through that position, you can and do serve in amazing ways. But if we leave all the ministry up to the pastor and staff, and maybe even to the deacons, this church will have a ceiling, a lid, that will prevent and hinder us from going anywhere beyond that. But when everyone in the pew recognizes their need to be ministering, don't just leave it up to the staff to visit somebody or to call somebody or show up at the hospital. Don't leave it up to us just to organize some kind of meal or help for an individual that's hurting. If you see somebody hadn't shown up in a while, don't leave it up to us to call them. You contact them. Be the hands and feet of Jesus, reaching out, looking around you for how you can properly serve. What happened? Look at verse 7. So the preaching about God, what? Flourished. And the number of the disciples in Jerusalem, what? Multiplied how? Greatly. So God continued to bless the church through his servants. The preaching of the gospel flourished. It continued to spread beyond the Jerusalem, now to Judea and the Samaria, and later on is set to go to the ends of the earth through the Apostle Paul. Preaching in harmony was promoted as others stepped up to serve. The number of the disciples multiplied, and the church continued to bring glory and honor to the Lord as individuals were obedient to the faith. That's the goal. That we take those previous steps and recognize with great blessing comes great what? Responsibility. And we take it into our hands and we step forward. We step up to the plate. We're looking for what God would have us to do. And as we continue to do that, God will bless us. I want you to stand with me, please. As we read through Acts, we find just a short time after this event, Stephen was one of the men that God elevated to this position of servant to help make sure the church is multiplying. Stephen comes under great persecution. In fact, he comes to the end of his life with a great big mob of people standing around him. And they're picking up rocks as large as they could carry, and they're hurling them at his body with the goal of breaking everything they can break to end his life. Standing there at the foot of that individual and with people's coats in his hands is a man named Saul, who organized this persecution of this man, this godly individual. And Stephen's last words should be familiar to us, because they were the words on the mouth of our Savior on the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And I'm certain that prayer pierced the heart of the Apostle Paul, because in Acts chapter 9 we find that God gets a hold of that man's heart and changes him to become the greatest missionary the world has ever known. I'm not sure where you find yourself in that story this morning. Maybe you're one of the individuals God is calling out, that you might be able to walk and step up to the plate, even if it means persecution. Maybe this morning you would say, "Well, I'm finding myself a lot like Saul. I'm doing anything and everything I can but what God wants me to be doing. My eyes are so blinded by my own agenda. That's all I desire to accomplish." God wants to get a hold of you this morning. And maybe he already is. If your heart is beating like it's going to come out of your chest this morning, it's not indigestion. It's not too much caffeine. It's the Holy Spirit, the living God, getting a hold of you. The question is, will you surrender? You see, I've recognized over my years of ministry that God has ways of getting our attention. Sometimes it's in still, quiet ways like this, and sometimes it's flat of our back in a hospital bed or staring in the face of a dying loved one. You have the opportunity this morning to surrender. Surrender your agenda to the Lord. You see, God doesn't need us. He wants us. He wants you to step to the plate to be found faithfully serving him, making disciples, multiplying the kingdom of God. In the next few moments, it'll be an opportunity for you to respond. Maybe you want to come up front and talk to me about something. I'll pray with you. Whatever is going on in your life that would hinder you from helping as God is calling you to. Maybe there's some stuff in your life you just want to get on your face before the Lord. Let me encourage you to do that. Or maybe this morning as you watch the baptism that happened, you realize my life's not there. I've never made that commitment, and today is the day I need to take my first step. Whatever God is dealing with you about, don't leave here until you're right with him. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us a clear directive from you, a clear example of your early church and how you blessed it. You blessed it with multiplication, growth, and because of that, you caused people to step up to serve. And Lord, I pray that you would be calling out people this morning to step up to serve. I thank you for those whom we stand on their shoulders of many years of faithful service. This church would not be where it is without the faithful service of those who have gone before us. And so, Father, for that we say thank you. Thank you for those men and women who poured into us to make the disciples that we are today. And God, I pray that you help us to carry that on. And there's some here this morning, Father, that need to let go of their agenda and surrender to yours for their life. And so, Lord, I ask that you bring a heavy conviction upon their heart and a clear desire to follow you. There's some that need to get right with you for the very first time. They're not a disciple of you. They're a disciple of the world. They're following anything and everything but you. And so, God, I ask that you would grab hold of their heart so that they could not continue in their path until they surrender to you. God, we thank you for the blessing that you poured out upon this church. Help us now to be found faithful with what you're pouring into our hands to be making disciples of the next generation. We give you the remainder of this time of this service this morning for you to speak. We will listen and respond in Jesus' name. Amen.